Good morning, and welcome to Words from the Honeycomb. Today, we will be studying Lesson 5 of The Whole Armor of God. This lesson is on the shield of faith. We will discuss why we need a shield, what is faith exactly, do a word study on faith, and then look at what are God's promises, and how we can use the shield of faith in our lives. Okay, let's get praying. Dear God, thank you so much that we get together and we get to learn about the armor of God, Lord. I just really praise you, God, that you have given us your shield of faith to protect us, to keep us safe, Lord, that you do not leave us and you do not forsake us. And I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak tonight, Lord, will be the very oracles of God, that I will say the things that you want me to and nothing that you don't want me to, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are here with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will guide us in all truth, and as we learn about the shield of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to look into is, why do we need a shield of faith specifically? Ephesians 6:16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one." So why do we need a shield? What does it do? A shield is defensive. It protects us. It blocks sword thrust and darts and arrows from the enemy. And when we only have a little faith, we have a small shield. But when we put our faith in God, when we trust Him, it builds our faith. And the bigger our faith, the bigger our shield. The way I see it is, when we don't have faith, we leave ourselves open to attacks from the enemy. So it's kind of like this, you know, if you've thought about it, there's the story of the man in the Bible who, when his son was sick and demon-possessed and throwing himself on fires, he asked the disciples to cast that demon out, and they couldn't. And so when Jesus came back down and joined them, he said, "Do you believe?" And the father said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And I think that sometimes we are all in that place where we want to believe God more, but we don't. And so when that happens, when our faith is small, we say, "God, I believe. Please help my unbelief." Because we need God to shield us and to protect us Himself. If you look in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward.'" What God is saying to Abram in this verse is that Abram doesn't have to be afraid of the things coming against him, that God will himself will shield him. That is his reward for trusting God, is that God will put himself in front and shield and take those blows for him. Again, going back to, the bigger our faith, the bigger our shield. Because if we make God little bitty, then he can't block much for us. If we make God big, you know, it's kind of the difference between, oh, I hope this 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper protects me from incoming mortar fire versus, oh, here's the Great Wall of China. I would much rather have the Great Wall of China or something thick and stone and tall protect me than a sheet of paper from incoming mortar fires. And that's what we do. We grow our faith to have a bigger faith in the big God that we have. And so you're like, "Joanna, you're talking a whole lot about faith. What is this faith?" And so let's go to the Bible to look at that actually itself. And so one of the verses that I love that defines this really well is Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. And then I'll read verse 6 as well. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." Dropping to 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now I love this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What that means is when we have to walk by faith and not by sight, when all the things that we can see with our human eyes are our life falling apart in front of us, that is when faith kicks in. That is when we go, "You know, God, I don't understand what's going on around me. I do not understand these circumstances. They are tragic. They are horrible, and I am miserable. But I know you, God, and you are not a malicious, mean God. You are a loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God who fights for me." And I put my faith in you. I trust in your character and not in my circumstances. And when we do that, we have that peace that passes all understanding. It's back to, you know, Philippians 4, where it talks about when we're anxious, we pray and petition with thanksgiving, which is a big spiritual warfare element I've talked about before. And that gives us God's peace, and that we have God's peace when we trust him, when we turn it over to him. And that is a really good example of that. Another good verse on faith is Romans 5, 1 through 2. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So this is saying that we have been justified by faith, not by anything we've done. It's our faith in God, which is the same in the New Testament as in the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, even Abraham, it said, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was also saved by his faith, by his belief in God. The same way that we are now justified by God, and that brings us that peace with God, that reconciliation we talked about before, and the faith that we have gives us access into God's grace, that we can stand in God's grace assured that our sins are forgiven. And that is so encouraging, Lord, that God is going to protect us and forgive all of our sins, that we can have faith and assurance in God that he's not going to drop us if we mess up. So let's look at the word study. The Greek word for faith is pistis. It means persuasion or credence or convention of a religious truth or the truthfulness of God. And you're like, huh? Okay, it's relying upon God for Christ for our salvation. Relying upon Christ for our salvation. It's assurance that our beliefs and knowing that the truth is the truth, period. It's a faith of a proven God, not a blind and proven faith. When we looked at God's character over the course of the Bible, when we see how he has come through for other people, it helps us to be encouraged to know, yeah, God's come through for these other people. He can come through for me as well. It's very encouraging. And actually, that's one of the things that I think is an important thing about faith. We all exercise faith every day. If you ever sat in a chair before and not looked at it and inspected it very carefully, it's because you've probably sat in other chairs and they've held you up. So you thought, gee, if I sit in this chair, it should logically hold me up as well. And you don't have to think about it every single time. You just sit in that chair. That's exercising faith, because it's proven itself. Now, the thing is, God has also proven himself over and over and over again to us. Now, there's a song out right now that's a good song, but it kind of bothers me just a little bit. It says, God's never failed me yet. And I'm like, it's almost like somebody's sitting around waiting for the other shoe to drop. And God's not failed me yet, but he probably will, or he might tomorrow. And I don't think of it that way. I feel like if God's character is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never failed us, and he never will. I mean, it's something we can take to the bank and take home with us. Now, that does not mean that there are not times when we might feel like God has failed us because we're in the middle of the bad time and we haven't gotten through to the end of it. But even when life circumstances are the most dire, I've learned that honestly, those are the times that I seem like I learn the most. When God really just shows up and he shows that he has a proven character and sees me through, he doesn't leave me in those deep, dark times. And I'm like, thank God. And so one of the ways that you grow your faith is by knowing God's character, knowing God's promises and that he keeps his promises. So let's look at a couple of promises of God so that we can understand who God is better and that how he actually, you know, he keeps his promises. And I love it. There's this Bible edition that I saw one time and it has all the promises of God in blue. So if you ever think, where's the promises of God? You in that Bible, you just turn and look for the words in blue. And those are God's promises. And so here's a couple of them just to know a few of them. But there are just a vast wealth of riches of God's promises. And so a couple of them are Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if you look at this verse in context, what this verse is talking about is being content. Paul is talking about how he has learned to be abased and he has learned to be abound Everywhere in all things he has learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to lack and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That if he has ups in life, he can do that through Christ. If he has downs in life, he can do that through Christ. Back to it all being about Christ and being about what Christ can do in and through him. And we rely on God's strength and not our own. And I love this next verse too. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. And I love this. I've heard other people say something similar, that's not scriptural, but biblically accurate and doctrinally sound, is that faithful is he who calls who also will do it. It's very close to the saying of, he doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. And I think that that's the beauty of it, is that God rejoices in calling us to do things that we are weak at, that are not our fortes, because then he gets the glory from it. I mean, quite honestly, I never thought I'd be podcasting ever, ever, ever. And yet I now have a new microphone that I am trying out and Lord willing is kind of working. And God's like teaching me new skills so that I can do the work that he wants me to do, that he's called me to do. He has equipped me. He's doing it. It's not me. And I think another really great passage is one from Hebrews. It's Hebrews 13:5-8. It said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then drop down to verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love that. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God keeps his promises. And if he has said he's never going to leave us and never going to forsake us, even when we're in the depths of that miry pit and feel like we're drowning and just can't even breathe for the difficulties that are surrounding our lives, that's when God says, hey, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That we can put our trust in God, that the Lord himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what I do, I take these promises back to God. I say, your word says, you will never leave me nor forsake me. I feel forsaken. What's going on here? And I take God to account, not in a mean, nasty way, but I say, God, give me your perspective on this. What am I missing in this picture? And then he shows me stuff that I hadn't seen before and how he is coming through and that my narrow tunnel village is missing out on oftentimes just the richness and the beauty of getting to know him better, to see how he comes through those hard times of our lives. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character is proven and he isn't suddenly going to one day be malicious and mean. He is a just God, no doubt on that. But he's not malicious and he's not mean and he cares for his children. He's a loving father. Does God keep his promises? Yes. And I think this is the thing. A lot of people don't have those truths to hold on to in their tough times because they haven't been stockpiling and hoarding that truth during the good times. And I think that that's okay. If you haven't stockpiled and hoarded it and you're already in the bad time, there's no time like the present to start getting out the Bible and saying, God, what do you say about my circumstances? You know, what is going on here? What are your promises to me? And when we do that, we see God come through again. And sometimes maybe you need to go to a friend or go through the Bible and look and see how God brought his people through rough times. And then that will build your faith. Or maybe you can ask friends and hear stories about how God has been faithful to them. And instead of thinking, oh, God got them through, but he's not going to do it for me, think, God got them through. He can get me through too. It's a different perspective. It's not building envy. It's building trust and faith in God's ability to see his children through hard times. And so I like this verse on God's character, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. And what this is saying is that everything God has said, he's going to do. And the reason why is because it gives glory to God the Father. And that's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. So that is, you know, the fact that God keeps his promises. But then how do we use this shield of faith? Okay, so I've got a shield. I know it protects me. God himself protects me. And I have to have faith in God, which is, you know, trusting God to keep his promises. But how do I apply that? And I think that this is what it is. This shield of faith blocks the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the way I like to fight back with that is I specifically find verses that deal with whatever I'm going through in life at a given time, and I go write them down. And I put them in my car, and I put them in my cube at work, and I put them in my office, and I put them in my mirror, and I will read them in the morning when I get up, and I will read them at night before I go to bed. And I will remind myself and feed my mind on the truths of God's word. And when you replace lies with truth, it builds your faith. And it's not going to happen overnight. These are things that I would have to do for months of feeding my mind on truth, of replacing those lies with the truth of God's word. And I like this analogy that little kids would have. They'd be like, a kid would say, "I'm rubber and you're glue. Everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you." And when we trust God, when we have our faith built and He is our protection, it's like that. It's like all the things that the enemy is trying to throw at us bounce off us and stick back at Him. The accusations don't stick. They go back, and Satan is the liar and he looks like it because we recognize that he is not throwing truth at us because it doesn't match the word of God that we are hiding in our hearts. And I kind of think of these shields being like these force fields that you could see like on Star Trek, you know, where they have these force fields when they're all powered up, like all the incoming munitions against them, all the incoming bombs, they just kind of bounce off and fall down because the force field is powered up. And the way we power up our shield of faith, our force field, is by feeding ourselves on the truth of God and our character, and it grows our faith. So what I do, I'm going to just go through a couple verses really quickly that are specific to some specific difficulties or issues you might have, and to give you an idea for how to go about this, and then I'm going to encourage you to do the same yourself. So scriptures for when you're having financial difficulties. One I really like is Psalm 37:25. It says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." And another good one is Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord." So what this is saying is you can go to God when you know that you have been trusting him and tithing and giving back and using your money the way that he wants you to, and you are not having what you feel like you need to pay your bills, then say, "God, how can you be my provider? Show me what I need to do." And sometimes it takes some reshuffling of funds and reprioritizing, and there might be some really tight, hard times, which we definitely had during some times when I was a kid. But God always came through and he always provided. And when I can look back at that and I was an adult and see, yeah, God has always come through, that just encourages me so much. It really builds my faith that God comes through. He provides for us. So when I have financial difficulties now, I can be like, God helped me before. He's going to help us again. Another ones are things like when you feel guilty. And so a good verse for that is Romans 8:1-2. And this is one I have to use for myself a lot, is there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, I sometimes can honestly be very hard on myself and expect more of myself than even God does. I get frustrated with being human, and I'm like, oh man, I messed up again. And God's like, you know, I have enough grace for that. I've got that covered. And I think that, you know, he doesn't sit around beating me up and condemning me. His conviction is to convince me that, yeah, to agree with him that my sin is sin, to lead me out of freedom. It's when the enemy comes in with his accusations of like, yeah, you messed up that time and you're always going to be a mess up. And he tries to take us down with condemnation. That's not from God. That is not from God. That is the enemy trying to lead us back into slavery to sin and that law of sin and death. But we are not under that anymore in Christ. We are now under Christ and his grace to us. So another one is like prayer scriptures for when you feel tempted would be 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, this doesn't say we are going to not be tried beyond what we can handle. I believe God gives us bigger things that we can handle so that he can grow our faith and show us how big and how good he is so that he can come through. But this is when we are tempted to do things that are direct sin. God makes a way of escape. We just have to be looking for them. And a lot of times we aren't looking. Or we think, oh, I've got this, or it doesn't matter, or we explain away sin. but God makes a way out for us if we look for it. Another one that I really like for being tempted and just having rough times is Hebrews 4:15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And this one is just so beautiful because it's like Jesus is like, yeah, I was tempted like you are. I've been there. And he doesn't have that like, you dingbat, why is that a problem? He's like, oh, that's a problem, Godfather. The God the Father, help her out. Help the girl out. That's hard. And I just love that he can identify with us and know that he made it through without sinning so that I can be reconciled to God. So that's what we have today. That's what we just went over. We went over why do we need a shield? It's that we need God to protect us. God himself protects us through our faith in him when we trust him. And then what is that faith? That faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's when we believe that God will keep his promises and keep doing what he says he's going to do and not fail. And that means God can do things that ways he wants, though. It might fail what our expectations of what we might have wanted God to do, but it doesn't mean God failed. And I think that's a key distinction to make in our minds, that even if our lives don't turn out as we planned, that we can still surrender and trust God because his ultimate plans are for our good and for his glory. And then how do we apply this shield of faith? It's by building our faith, by putting in our minds and building up truth of the promises of God for whatever situations we have and memorizing scripture so that when those times come, we can be protected by the truths of God and the truths of God's character. And so that is what we went over today. And I hope that, you know, so that you can apply this in your life, you know, the same way we have to exercise our muscles, so physical muscles, so they don't atrophy, we have to exercise our faith so it doesn't atrophy. So what I want to encourage you to do is go find those areas where you need to build your faith in life and go find scriptures, write them down and read them out loud and memorize them so that they can be a part of your life and bless you and that you can really grow in your faith. And I do, I just pray that anyone listening to this will just really dig into the word and that their faith will be grown so that when they can have rough times, they can have that big faith and big shield and a big God and see that he protects his children because he does. He's a good God. He takes care of his kids. That's all I got for today. If you need anything more, you can go to wordsfromthehoneycomb.com for other resources. And I just pray that y'all have a great week and God bless. Thanks. Bye.